Our scripture reading is found in the book of Mark, chapter 11, reading from the 1st through the 11th verses. For those of you who would like to follow along in the pew Bibles, the reading is located on page 1003. As they approached Jerusalem and came to Bethphage and Bethany at the Mount of Olives, Jesus sent two of his disciples, saying to them, "Go to the village ahead of you, and just as you enter it, you'll find a colt tied there, which no one has ever ridden. Untie it and bring it here. If anyone asks you, 'Why are you doing this?' tell him, 'The Lord needs it, and we'll send it back here shortly.'" They went and found a colt outside in the street, tied at a doorway. As they untied it, some people standing there asked, "What are you doing untying that colt?" They answered as Jesus had told them to, and the people let them go. When they brought the colt to Jesus and threw their cloaks over it, he sat on it. Many people spread their cloaks on the road, while others spread branches they had cut in the fields. Those who went ahead and those who followed shouted, "Hosanna! Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord! Blessed is the coming kingdom of our father David! Hosanna in the highest!" Jesus entered Jerusalem and went to the temple. He looked around at everything, but since it was already late, he went out to Bethany with the 12. Here ends the reading.
Please join me in a word of prayer. Lord God, we thank you for the revelation of your holy word, and we pray for your Spirit's presence to be upon us, to open up our minds, our ears, and listen for your lesson this morning. In Christ we pray, amen. Tell me the old, old story of unseen things above, of Jesus and his glory, of Jesus and his love. Tell me the story simply as to a little child. Such is the theme of today, Palm Sunday, telling the old, old story. We observe it annually, and if you do it long enough over those years, it becomes very familiar. It's an old, old story. As Jesus entered in the prominently historical city of Jerusalem, the parade-like entrance of Jesus arriving in the city amidst great fanfare from the large crowd, as our children reenacted for us today in their palm processional. Palm Sunday, an annual observance in the Christian church. Maybe not the level of excitement of Christmas Eve or Easter Sunday morning, but it's just as important in the life teaching we have from the Bible. Palm Sunday is a day of wondering. It's a time of questioning. How should Palm Sunday affect us today in our time? Once you've seen the palm branches, once we've read the passage, what more is there? Can anything new be learned from such a relatively simple event? Ecclesiastes 1:9. What has been will be again, and what has been done will be done again. There is nothing new under the sun. Some biblical scholars believe nothing new under the sun is a Hebrew idiom speaking to life without God. Nothing new. Life without God. It is through the presence and the power of the Holy Spirit that there is always something new to be gained, to be learned when reading and studying Scripture. So I invite you to keep your eyes and your ears ready to glean blessings from Mark chapter 11 this morning. The city of Jerusalem, destroyed by the army of King Nebuchadnezzar in the 6th century BC. Both the city and the temple were leveled, after which almost all of the Jews were placed in exile and taken out of the country. And they lived in exile for over 70 years. And then some of those Jews began to return. They began to be allowed to return to the city of Jerusalem. And they began to rebuild not only the city, they began to rebuild the temple. And over those centuries, the temple was rebuilt. And that temple sat atop a large stone foundation, white stone, and it was high up. So when you were in the temple, in the temple courts, you could see all around the temple, all around the city. It was seen from quite a far distance. When Jesus entered into the city of Jerusalem, it's estimated that the population of Jerusalem at that time was about 25,000 people. And whenever there was a feast, such as the Feast of Unleavened Bread, as to why Jesus was going to Jerusalem in the first place at that time, because part of the Feast of Unleavened Bread was to celebrate the Passover. And that's what he was celebrating on Thursday when he instituted the Lord's Supper. But at such a time of feast, they also estimate that the population of the city rose by 4 or 5 times. So it was an extremely large crowd that was on hand in Jerusalem as Jesus entered in. So what all took place that day? What did that large crowd of people witness in that moment? What all was Jesus doing and thinking on the day we've come to know as Palm Sunday? Looking at the details of the story provides answers to such questions. Remember, there is no wasted word of Scripture. Each word, each account is included in the Bible for our revelation. And so we are encouraged to study the details. In my study of Mark 11, I've summed up my notes in a few key phrases. There are 4. I know traditionally, pastors are only supposed to give sermons with 3 points. The 4th one is very quick. First, Jesus was saying his goodbyes. As they approached Jerusalem, they came to Bethphage and Bethany at the Mount of Olives. Now, the only time Bethphage is mentioned in the Gospels, in the NIV, is Matthew, Mark, and Luke, and it's only mentioned as Jesus entered into Jerusalem. So only on the day of Palm Sunday. Now, Bethany is the home of the sisters Martha and Mary and their brother Lazarus, who Jesus raised from the dead. John 11:8 tells us that Bethany is less than 2 miles from Jerusalem. So they walked around quite a bit this morning, and sometime we'll have to measure what it might be to walk 2 miles, because Jesus made that trek on that morning and then entered in to the city of Jerusalem. According to the Bible maps that I looked at, Bethphage is in between Bethany and Jerusalem. It could have been the village, and it could be why it's mentioned. Maybe that's where that colt was tied that Jesus sent the 2 disciples to go get for him. In Mark 11:11, we read that after looking around at the temple since it was late, Jesus and his 12 disciples went back out to Bethany. He could have spent the night with Martha and Mary at their home as he stayed there before. And maybe at that night, or maybe as he arose in the morning, he offered his final goodbyes to his friends, the 2 sisters and their brother, saying goodbye because Jesus knew. As God's son, he knew what was coming to him in the week ahead. Palm Sunday is a lead up to the events of Holy Week. It's a day of preparation. It's a day for each of us to spend time in reflection and in prayer, asking God's wisdom, asking for God's revelation, and our own lives of faith, and our own lives of worship, and our own lives of service. Jesus was saying his goodbyes. Secondly, the fulfilling of Scripture prophecy and consistency in the Bible. That colt, represented by this donkey, the colt, a foal of a donkey, never ridden before. Tied in a location where two disciples of Jesus could easily find it. Maybe some think Jesus had made earlier arrangements with the owner of the colt. But maybe, as God's son, Jesus just knew it would be there. From Old Testament prophecy, his entry into Jerusalem on such a beast of burden was proclaimed. In Zechariah 9:9, "Rejoice greatly, O daughter of Zion. Shout, daughter of Jerusalem. See, your king comes to you, righteous and having salvation, gentle and riding on a donkey, on a colt, the foal of a donkey." A colt that had never been ridden before. It speaks of that colt being set aside for a sacred purpose. That colt was set aside for the sacred purpose of Jesus climbing on the back of that colt and entering into Jerusalem. And there that colt was. And as those two disciples went to untie it, just as Jesus said, they may ask. It wasn't the owner, but neighbors or friends were there, and they asked. And they simply gave the answer, "The Lord needs it." And the neighbors and friends were okay with that. And they let them untie the colt and take it with them. The Lord needs it. They were aware of who Jesus was. They had known about his authority and about his power in the miracles. And they recognized the need of Jesus. And so they let that colt go. 500 years earlier, the people were told what to expect back in Zechariah 9. And yet they were looking for a conquering hero. Many missed the meaning of the humble servant king that Jesus came to be. The people were looking for glory. They were looking for the overthrow of Rome, free from the crushing Roman rule they had lived under. Jesus came humbly, both at his birth and here as he entered into the city. And his humbleness would be on display throughout the week, at the foot washing, at his arrest, at his trial, when he was silent, and then in his crucifixion. Once astride the colt, traveling ever closer to Jerusalem and to the temple, people along that route, they burst into a spontaneous response to what they saw. Their expectations of their new king welled up within them, and they began to shout out those praises over Jesus. The prophetic word from Psalm 118 that we've already heard. "O Lord, save us. O Lord, grant us success. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. From the house of the Lord, we bless you." Palm branches. Matthew, Mark, and Luke only talk about branches. It's only in the Gospel of John that they're named palm branches. I read that they're not native to Jerusalem. They have to be brought in for the feast of unleavened bread, along with branches of myrtle and willow, because they were used in the worship during the feast. And so they were brought in, and people had some of them, and they laid them out there. And prophecy was fulfilled. And prophecy is being fulfilled today too. It's a call to faithfulness. It's a call to worship. It's a call to be prepared and to be ready for the second coming of Jesus Christ. Old Testament prophecy being fulfilled speaks to the consistent nature of the Bible, the consistent nature of God. What the Bible says will happen, will happen. For much of his ministry, Jesus had been despised and rejected by the people. And the crowds of people often followed him for only what they could get, what they could receive from him. But this day, Palm Sunday, was different. They honored Jesus. They praised him as he entered into Jerusalem. throughout his ministry. Jesus had deflected any type of attention, often telling his disciples to keep things quiet. When he came down the mount from the Transfiguration, he told them not to tell anyone. When Peter proclaimed him as the Christ, he told them to keep that to themselves. There was no public celebration of Jesus as the Messiah until this day, when Jesus went out of his way to invite their praise and their adoration. He was the one that sent the disciples to get the colt to ride in with that symbolic meaning of that beast of burden in service. The fulfilling of scripture prophecy and consistency throughout the Bible. And third, in a sort of aside to the story, we find Jesus preparing himself. Mark 11:11. Jesus went to the temple. He looked around at everything. And because it was late, he and his disciples went back to Bethany. It was a familiar scene, an area for Jesus. He had been to the temple many times throughout his life, but there he stood, looking around. He was observing. He was reflecting. He was preparing. Did you ever do that? Do you go back to home? Do you go back to that first house you might have lived in, or another place on vacation that your family has gone to many times, and you go and you observe and you look around and you wonder what the changes are, you notice those, but you reflect and you think. Remember, Jesus didn't have cameras. We can look at pictures. Jesus was there in that place and he was observing. I have found myself following that practice on every mission trip, every project I'm involved in. I like to be there early so I can look around to make sure I have all the equipment and all the supplies and everything's lined up so I'm not wasting any of the volunteers' time to look around and observe. And I thoroughly enjoy, after the project is done, to look and see what the people have raised, what they have built. Jesus was observing when he was at the temple. And again, Old Testament prophecy is in play. Malachi chapter 3. See, I will send my messenger who will prepare the way before me. Then suddenly the Lord you are seeking will come to his temple. The messenger of the covenant whom you desire will come, says the Lord Almighty. But who can endure the day of his coming? Who can stand when he appears? For he will be like a refiner's fire or a launderer's soap. He will sit as a refiner and a purifier of silver. He will purify the Levites and refine them like gold and silver. May we each spend time in the early stages of this Holy Week observing and reflecting and preparing as Jesus prepared himself. And fourth and finally, as I said, was short, Jesus was fulfilling prophecy and he was ordaining our worship of him. So let us worship him this day and this Holy Week to his glory. Amen. Recognizing, knowing what God has given to us, we take this time to reflect and to think and to ponder as we share our offerings and our tithes with the Lord in the ministry of the church. So I invite our ushers to come forward and receive after I offer the prayer of dedication. God, I pray your blessing upon these offerings and those that give. I pray that we would know your peace and that we have your love in our hearts that we want to share through these blessings. In Christ we pray. Amen. Now you can come. On this fourth Sunday of the month, as it's been tradition for a few years here at St. John's, we have a second offering to go towards our capital campaign, so I invite our ushers in once again. And while they're collecting and you're giving, I will share an update. The planning work of the building committee is almost to the point of completion. We had a meeting this past Thursday with the architects, and Beilhard's architects scheduled another meeting on April 19th, and it is their hope at that time that they will have all of the building plans complete. And that means that the building committee will soon be ready to share that with the consistory and ultimately with the congregation. So looking for educational displays and informational meetings, and then a congregational meeting for final approval of the project. The architects are waiting on just one more company to give them their project parameters, and then the committee is dialing in on some final details as well. So these offerings and other donations for 2024, as of yesterday, so far have totaled $17,000. And so each year that continues to grow, and we thank you for your continued prayers and your faithfulness.
At this time, let us have our closing hymn. Please stand if you are able. Our closing hymn is "He is Lord." It is found on page number 105 of your red hymnal if you wish to follow along there. After the closing hymn, we will have the spoken benediction, and then the benediction in song will be the chorus of "He is Lord." So let us sing.
May Jesus, whose arms were spread wide on the cross to embrace the whole world, may Jesus help us this week to take up our cross and follow him. Amen.